Welcome to this episode of Above the Clouds. Today we will hear from Kapila Dev about the perfection of devotional life, and we will get an idea about the place to which we are heading. Thus, because the devotee is completely absorbed in thought of me, he does not desire even the highest benediction obtainable in the upper planetary systems, including Satyaloka. He does not desire the eight material perfection obtained from mystic yoga. Nor does he desire to be elevated to the kingdom of God. Yet, even without desiring them, the devotee enjoys, even in this life, all the offered benedictions. So we find here three goals in life, which are superseded, or let us say, left behind by a devotee because he's so fulfilled. First of all, the upper planetary systems, including Satyaloka. There are so many people who want to go into this paradisical situation where they can enjoy fruits and sense enjoyments that are not perceivable or understandable here in this planet. The devotee says no to this. He does not desire even the eight material perfections obtained from mystic yoga. There are so many people who want to fly or who want to create anything what they desire. Just by thinking it, there are so many people who would love to become smaller than the smallest and bigger than the biggest to solve all their problems. The devotee says no. And now, there are many people who would like to be desired to be elevated to the kingdom of God. They want to go there. They want to enjoy there. They want to be liberated from this miserable material existence. The devotee says, no, that is, also that is not my goal. My goal is not back to Godhead, as surprising as it may sound. The devotee just wants bhakti, loving devotional service. The verse continues, yet even without desiring all these, the devotee enjoys even in this life all the offered benedictions. In spiritual life, we feel happy. We feel the promises of the material world are even fulfilled. We have what we need. In devotional life, sometimes miracles happen. And in devotional life, when we can touch that timeless, blissful zone of spirituality or Krishna consciousness, we think, I'm already in the kingdom of God. So, yes, when you practice real devotional life or real bhakti, you do not require anything else any longer. I would like to give an analogy. Imagine a caged swan who was born inside a steel cage. He has not seen the lake. He has not seen lotus flowers. He has never swum. But the moment the door of the cage is opened for him and he can go to the lake, he will know how to swim. He will recognize the lotus flowers and will come with his head and eat and dig at the roots of the lotus flower. Everything is intrinsic in him. It is, so to say, born in him, although he's born in captivity. In the same way, the soul is caged and it has no idea of the spirit of freedom which bhakti gives it. But when the door to material life is opened and one can perform selfless devotional service for the pleasure of Krishna, at that moment everything is there. All the abilities and capabilities of liberated action are there. In fact, they show up in our psychology. Bhakti, which is eternally residing in the soul, is awakened like the rising sun which comes over the horizon. The only thing which is necessary is that we meet someone who can open the door for us, and that we then enter this realm of devotional service, and then we know what to do as if we have always done it. Prabhupada once was asked in Hamburg, how long does it take to come to Krishna consciousness? And he said, it can happen in 1 second, or it may not happen after many lifetimes. It is dependent only on how sincerely you take to the process. We have a few processes in bhakti which have the potentiality in them to awaken our natural consciousness and direct attraction to Krishna. It is a meeting with devotees. They are the liberators who open the door for us. It is hearing the Bhagavatam. It is chanting the holy name. It is going to the holy places, and it is worshipping the deities. Although bhakti is inherent, it is intrinsic, we can say, and can come out, we do require some nurturing of bhakti. We do require initial meetings with the devotees. We require the guidance, and we also require the nurturing of the seed of bhakti by engaging in these five powerful practices which were mentioned before. And at that time, from within, the whole Krishna consciousness is there. Again there is life. Again there is Krishna. Again there is bliss. All this is there, like a mango tree is intrinsically there within a mango seed. And just like the invisible tree comes out by watering the seed and planting it into, first of all, planting it into a good earth and then watering it. In the same way, bhakti or devotion manifests itself immediately as if we take to the process of the cultivation of bhakti, these five processes, sincerely. Then the door opens, then the caged swan of our soul goes and takes to the lake, takes to the lotus flowers, and lives a life of eternal bliss. This is our purpose. This is something which is there within our soul, just like the mango tree is there in the seed. I have deeply thought about these concepts because a few hours ago I listened to a broadcast about the inherent nature of bhakti, and I always felt I wanted to share this with my audience, how bhakti is both intrinsically there and how it must be at the same time given to us by a bhakta who mercifully takes care of us and explains to us sambandha tattva, abhideya tattva, and prayojana tattva, or the knowledge of who we are, who this world is, and who is God, the devotional practices and the highest goal. We need to meet a devotee and we need these practices. So it's inherent and it can be cultivated. I wish to leave all of you with something wonderful to do. Kindly think how you can take care of an environment that helps you to grow the seed of bhakti and of the practices which you need to do to nurture it. But please always rest assured, the greatest contributing factor to develop bhakti is the mercy of Krishna and the devotees. Pray for the mercy. I thank you very much, and I hope to meet you very soon in the next episode of Above the Clouds.